Thank you, bro. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Kurt. You know, I want to first thank everyone around the world for logging on and their support. Continue to log on. It's important that you get these messages in you, because to know a little bit of the truth isn't really going to help you. You got to know all of it so that you have a complete understanding and be transformed. It's all about being transformed. So I'm speaking a series on sin, and it's very important because there's a great controversy about sin around the world. The world doesn't understand what sin is. They just have no concept, and they're trying to, you know, I don't know, you go to some denominations and like you confess your sin to a priest or what have you, and then the priest gives you like a job to do. Am I right on that one? How many people were in that type of religion where, you know, you confessed your sin and then he gave you a job? You had to do something. You had to do a work, and that work was more than likely say so many prayers, or, you know, more than likely say so many prayers to this saint, and, you know, say that many prayers, or, you know, do some fasting or what have you. Years ago, through scripture in the Old Testament, they would start sacrificing animals and stuff like that. And then there was a part where God said, you know what? I don't desire sacrifice anymore. I don't want it anymore. Because they began to start taking things as a common thing and not really getting down to the root of why they were doing what they were doing as far as the prayers or the sacrifices or what have you. And I want to break down and destroy the powers of sin, because God did. He redeemed us. And there's redemption. And we don't really quite understand what redemption is. But I don't want to say that sin doesn't exist, even though it doesn't exist. But it exists. It's like one of them oxymoron things, you know? It don't, but it does. What do you mean, it don't, but it does? And I need to make it clear and for us to really understand, because Jesus was one who came in the likeness of sin. That means that he came in flesh. He came into flesh, a body. We were all born in flesh. We were all born in a body. We were all given a soul. And in that's what brought sin. We're all given sin. We're all born in sin. I described it as like eggs in a woman. You're all filled with eggs to produce. And there's an option. There's a choice. You can produce children, and you can have as many as you want. And that's a good thing. We want to produce children and have many and be fruitful and multiply. But sin is similar to like that, but on the bad thing. There is a multiple amount of cells or sin cells in you, and you can multiply and birth sin as much as you want. And that's where the free will comes in at. Or you can say, no, I don't want to. And that's where repentance comes into, changing the way you think. So, but because of these living cells that are in us called sin, it's part of our DNA, I guess you can say. It's part of us. Sin is part of nature. And because sin is part of nature, God gave us a free will. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve ourselves and be saturated in sin? Or are we going to serve God and be without sin? I'm going to try to make it as simple as possible so that we can walk without sin and how to remove sin. And I hope after today you will understand how to remove sin from your life. And it's really easy. It is so cool. So that we don't have to do it through works as far as saying so many prayers and things of that nature, or, you know, do some other types of works in our lives to try to put on a form of righteousness. The only righteousness that we can put on to wash away sin is really being obedient to the Word of God, and that Word of God is written on our heart. It's the commandments that God has placed on our hearts that really create who you are. And that we have to believe in who we are, and our feelings and our passions and our loves and our wants and our don't wants. And it's important that we come to that place. So to understand sin is probably a great gift of grace. We all fall short of the glory of God, amen? And we're all subject to sin. Any one of us can sin at any time. And Paul, he mentioned that he was the chief sinner of them all. And Jesus said to those that called him good, he says, "Don't call me good. There's no one good but my Father in heaven." And so we need to recognize that we are subject to sin. We need to put ourselves in that position of humility and not put any type of pride because of the good works that we do or the good things that we might do or, you know, the way we live. And as we become more knowledgeable in God, and the more I'm hoping in relationship, we will become humble and walk without sin. And then we put the cloak of His righteousness on rather than the righteousness of man. When the righteousness of man is put on, we tend to have a lot of haughtiness and pride and judgment. And that's definitely not the realm that we want to enter into. We want to enter into the realm of humility and knowing that we're subject to any snare out there. You can walk tomorrow and trip, and you can get hurt real bad. So we want to always know that those snares are in front of us, and we are subject to get caught in those snares, and to be walking in humility with our hearts always open. Lord, deliver us from the evil one. And you're going to find out that we're going to be able to walk without sin. Sin, there's a definition of sin. And I want to share this definition of sin. Sin is translated as transgression or trespasses. And Jesus made a comment and said, "Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And so this simplicity of trespass, I hope opens up your eyes, because in Scripture it says the Father can't forgive you unless you forgive others. And I've come to the conclusion that we are all subject to sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all have it. How to be set free and delivered from sin has nothing to do with saying, "Father, I'm sorry." It literally has everything to do with changing the way you're thinking. Now, let's get back to sin. Sin is a conviction knowingly that you're doing wrong. How many people have felt a conviction in their heart to stop doing something? It could be anything. Watching a TV show, playing a certain type of video game, looking on the internet, talking a certain way, treating a certain, maybe the way your work ethics are. Maybe you're slacking and the Lord's putting it on your heart to, you know, stop hiding and stealing from your boss or what have you through labor or what have you. How many of us here today have felt those convictions? And we tend to ignore them. Well, then now that's where it starts to become sin. See, sin doesn't exist until you ignore the convictions. And I'm going to emphasize on this because the relationship of God is personal. And so sin in the eyes of God is personal. So God convicts personal. So for example, I might be looking in the internet, and you might be looking at the same thing in the internet, but I'm not feeling convicted, but you are. Does that make me a sinner the same as you because you're being convicted, yet I'm not? So I want you to understand that it's personal. Sin is personal in the eyes of God. It could be God's doing 1,000 things, and maybe I'm stronger in certain areas than you are or what have you, and he's given me a free pass, or he's still ministering through me in a different areas, and my conviction isn't there yet in areas of your sin. And this relieves us from walking around with judgment. We can't judge others if they're doing things because their relationship with God works through them in the sense of their own personal convictions. How many people are following what I'm saying? Okay, good. It's important that you follow me because it'll allow us to live a personal relationship in our personal convictions, not judging anyone and hoping that God is working in their life, removing their sin. So understand conviction, because if conviction is touching your heart to tell you to stop doing something, then you need to obey that, because that's literally the voice of God saying, don't do it anymore. And as you repent and change the way you're thinking and stop doing what you're doing, you'll be free from sin. But if you begin to ignore the conviction and continue to do it within your own lust, I'm going to call it, because you want to do it even though you're being stirred not to, then it's birthed into something. It says here, I'm gonna just, there's a quick verse in James that I wrote down real quick, and I want to translate this, what I'm trying to say, in James chapter 1 verse 15. It says, then when desire has conceived, and that's basically what it is. Let's say you're ignoring the conviction and it's a desire of something that you want to do, and you begin to ignore that conviction. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. Which death to me is a loss. So for example, if you're doing something and you ignore that conviction, it conceives sin. It births sin. And then that sin, when it's fully grown, that means that you continually to ignore it, it brings a loss. It brings death. It brings a loss. And God wants us to prosper, amen? God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. He doesn't want us to fall under this realm of death. Death isn't just like you lose your life. death is loss. And I know that the life that God has given me, I want the fullness of that life. So that then I get that reward in heaven after I leave this earth. Well done, my faithful servant. You've done everything that I've commanded you to do. You heeded every conviction. You heeded every voice. You lived your life to the fullest, and you heeded to every conviction that I have sent your way. And you abided in me, and I abided in you. And now you are one without sin. Come. Welcome. Come. I granted a seat right next to you. Those who overcome, I grant a seat right next to me. And that's what I want in my life. I want to reach that realm of glory, that I'm sitting in that realm of glory to where I overcame. What am I supposed to be overcoming? Conviction. I'm supposed to be overcoming sin in my life. Now, that's one part of sin. Now, let's say, okay, I heed to every conviction. But then there's this thing called trespass. And I find this so awesome. Because when there was a prayer, God, deliver me from the evil one. Nobody wants the devil knocking on their back, right? We kind of want to be left alone. How many people are sick and tired of being sick and tired? You know, you're living a life that is just like frustrating. You're living a life that is tough and difficult. You're living a life that you're kind of lost and confused. And you know that God has given you a life and you just want to start living it. I want to live my life. Okay, this is where it gets really exciting. So now, we want to be delivered of the evil one. We want to start living our life. So he says, deliver us from the, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then it says, and deliver us from the evil one, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So the trespasses is first, and it says, trespass, to pass over, to go beyond one's right in place or act, to injure another, to do that which annoys or inconveniences another. How many people have done that already? Well, think about it. I'm a little itch. I tend to annoy people sometimes. Any violation of law, civil or moral. And it may relate to a person, a community, or a state, or an offense against God. And then it goes on and on. And the Hebrew word is sin. It's used very frequently in the Old Testament when trespasses is violation of the law of God, is the author, and yada, yada, yada. So, trespasses are basically what I just read. But to forgive those who trespass against you is really the key. If we can walk with forgiveness in our heart for those who trespassed against us, God begins to forgive us. So let's be real. How many people have done this to you? To pass over? To go beyond one's right in place or act. How many people have offended you in some way or another? Who have maybe went beyond their place? To injure. How many people have been injured by another person? I've been hurt. I've been hurt many times by loved ones and those that are close to me. And how about these? To do that which annoys or inconveniences another. And then we'll get into the obvious violation of law, civil or moral or blah, blah, blah. We know those kind. I feel in my heart, we all want a deeper relationship with God. And we want to walk without sin. And I believe if we continue to heed the convictions and repent, just change the way we're thinking, hold on to the commandments on our heart that are written, you know, your unctions, your desires, your wants. See, I want us to be free. I want us to live a life that is real. I don't want us to be bound by do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. God has given us a life, and we want to live that life free. We want to live that life knowing that we can live who we are and feel good about it. And why I'm saying this is because there are some things that I know in my heart that I want to live and do, but the world may not, you know, judge it as holy as you know, that you should be holy in certain ways. For example, there's a certain image that people put on as a pastor. Amen? Let's be real. And for me to wear my hair like this might not be correct in some people's eyes. The way I talk, the way I handle myself, the way I speak to other people. God says, become all things to all men to win them the more. There are times where I act a certain way just because I want to reach that person's heart. But that's quickly being able to judge someone. If someone knew me and saw that or heard that, they might be like, and you're a pastor? You're a pastor? And I want to live a life pleasing in God's eyes. So I'm working out my own salvation, and I am free in my relationship with Him, and I can act the way I'm acting and be free. What kind of holds me back sometimes is because I'm so concerned what others might think. And does that tend to put you in a place of freedom, or does that put you in a place of bondage? Think about it. I know that even serving the ministry, I've separated myself sometimes in the sense of, I'm here to serve the Lord through the Rhema word and to bring the word to those who are a hearer of the word. And that's what I've been called to. And I shared this with other individuals in my life. And sometimes I feel that I now have to put myself out there as a slave to those that support the ministry because of an obligation that they're supporting. And I had to change the way I'm thinking and say, wait a minute. No. They're supporting God. They're supporting, you know, the Word of God. They're not supporting me. They're supporting the Word of God. And I should be free from that, feeling that I'm obligated to be a servant and a slave to the for the world, so to say, or for those that support the ministry. How many people understand what I'm saying? Amen. And I feel that this too, in your own life, you need to learn to separate yourselves and not feel guilty or feel ashamed in areas of your life. We all need to be free. How many want to be free? Literally free. Be able to live a life and not feel guilty. How about being able to do things around individuals that you know that might not approve your actions? So how do we stop being who we are? Or do we continue to be who we are and let them get over it? Right? This is who we are. You either love me for who I am and work out your own salvation and get over it. I know A relationship walking in God is personal. And I want all of us to be able to live a life free from sin and death. And I want us to understand how to be free from sin and walk in the righteousness of God. Sin is not a work in the sense of, or forgiveness of sin is not a work in the sense of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, okay? In the world standards. Sin is a work to be free from sin is a work in a personal conviction. And I want us to clearly understand this. To be free from sin is a conviction from a personal relationship, not according to the world or according to the law of traditions of men and things of that nature. Yes, there is a moral law that we have to abide by, and that's trespassing. So, I want us to be able to grab hold and work on an area of forgiveness and be able to have confidence and boldness to live out the desires of your heart. We tend to put on a righteousness which then hurts others. So I want to clear the trespasses out of our own lives, okay? To where we don't put on a righteousness that tends to hurt others. How many of us have come around an individual that puts themselves above you? And you can feel that. Okay. That's trespass. Now that you know that feeling, don't fall into that. To where you begin to start obtaining the revelational knowledge and the relationship where then all of a sudden you're putting yourselves above others. We need to keep ourselves below others. Even though you may know more, you may know more truth, we need to stop putting ourselves above others and put ourselves equally or below. How many people understand this one? Okay, good. It's very important that we understand this so now we walk without trespass. Okay? And then we have to forgive those who trespass against us because what annoys you? Let's just take that one area of trespass, someone who annoys you or offends you. What is it? What causes an annoyance in your life? More than likely, it's because you want someone to act or do something a certain way and they're not doing it and you're getting annoyed by it. Or people that offend you or bother you or act a certain way. And their actions are just bothering the hell out of you. You know those little fleas that just like, get away from me? And so we have to find a place in our heart that we can say, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. We have to come to a place of understanding ignorance and somehow not let them affect our heart. And as we forgive those who trespass against us, our Father in heaven forgives us. Not based on works, not by saying 10 prayers, not by saying 5 Hail Marys, not by feeding the poor. See, God doesn't care about that stuff. He just cares about us forgiving those who trespass against us. And so we need to come to a place of forgiving those who annoy us. How many of us have a lot of people in our lives who annoy us? Come on, let's be real. There's probably, I got a whole list. I mean, I got, this list is big. And some of them are like real close to me, like every night close to me, you know? And, you know, I look and I say, you know, you should know this by now. You should, why are you doing this? You know, there's a lot of things that just annoy me. Like, things move out of place. It's like, wait a minute, I just laid it there. Where did it go? You know, it's the little things. It's a lot of things. We have to come to a place of letting it go. It's hard. It's probably one of the hardest things that I have ever come across in my own life of trying to walk without sin. I'm over here doing the things that is easy. I can do all that. That's easy. I mastered conviction. I get convicted. I walk away. I don't touch it for a while until I'm free. And when I'm free from that, and I might go back to it if the Lord wills it. If the Lord doesn't will it, I don't go back to it. I don't touch it. I leave it alone. One of the things that I like to do, and the world can't receive it because they think it's creepy, but when I see a girl or a woman who's like frowned and not happy, I like to bring happiness to them. I like to say, oh, you look very nice. Oh, you look good. Look at your eyes. They look pretty. You know, the world thinks that's creepy. How many people know what I'm talking about? It's a shame. It's like, where did it go? You can't even give a compliment anymore. And I'm one that's, I love giving compliments. Some people take it as flirtation and all that. And I'm like, come on, don't go that far. You're not all that. I mean, it's not like I want to date you or anything. I'm just telling you how nice. Trying to lift their spirits up. I do it a lot. And then others that are with me are like, oh, what are you doing? Yeah, you're flirting. You're like a dog in heat running around, you know? It's like, no, I'm not. I just want to tell the person. I see a lot of hurt, wounded women. How many people understand what I'm talking about? And it's sad. I guess it's okay for another woman to tell another woman to say, oh, you look pretty. Well, why can't I? It's not like I want to date them or anything. And I'm not convicted by it. Until the Lord says, okay, stop it. Enough's enough. But I'm going to tell you one thing. And you may be like me. Where because the world says it's creepy, you start doubting yourself. How many people have ran into that? And you start doubting yourself, trying to live your life. I don't want you to doubt the life that God is giving you. I don't want you to doubt living your life. Because you know what? When I stopped it because I was condemned of being creepy, I wasn't happy. I saw somebody sad, and I, you know, especially at the checkouts on the food market, you know, or at the stores, you know, I see the teller there and she's all sad, and, you know, and I can't say anything because I don't want to be accused of being creepy. And after I left, I felt really bad because, you know what, I knew I could have put a smile on that person's face. I knew that I could lift them up and make them feel good about themselves and give them some hope. So then I said to myself, you know what? I don't care if they think I'm creepy. I'm not feeling this way anymore. I'm going to put a smile on that one's face and I don't really care. And if they think that I want to date them, well, I guess I'm flattered. Because I guess they probably thought enough of me to think that maybe I was, you know, all that. I don't know. But I want to continue to bring joy and peace into people's hearts. That's an example of how conviction and how the world and traditions fall on us and keep us doing things that God is moving on our hearts to do. And, you know, to be able to walk with humility, knowing that we're all subject to fall short of His glory, and to live a life knowing that things are okay. And when conviction's on your heart, you just change the way you're thinking. This is such a beautiful truth to be free from sin. So when conviction comes in your heart, you just change the way you're thinking, you walk away from it, and you know what? You feel this peace from above that says, well done. Well done. That's called overcoming. Those who overcome, I grant a seat right next to me. And then when it comes to trespasses, well, I'm going to try not to annoy people, but sometimes these annoyances and offenses come, but I'm going to do my best. But at the same time, I really got to work on those that are annoying me. And that's the key to be free from sin and death. Don't let those who annoy you annoy you. Kind of just say, Father, forgive them. All right, I forgive them. Or, Lord, give me the strength to overcome their annoyances. I know I got people in my life that I have to work out. And I got people who I love that just annoy the hell out of me. And I have to just say, Father, you know, forgive them. And at the same time, forgive me and give me strength to get through it. Because I should walk in love. I should walk in an unconditional love with no judgment whatsoever. And to know that if I can walk this way, I truly believe the Christ that is in me will manifest itself. And there's a verse it's 2 Corinthians, and it's a very good verse. It says, this being done, our trespasses shall be forgiven, and we shall be justified. And through that, we actually project the image of God's Son, Christ. Now, I'm not going to say Jesus, because Jesus was a man in flesh, in sin. And the only thing that made him without sin was the truth here of forgiving trespasses. There was a point where he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And there was a constant forgiveness of sin. I'm going to read the full verse, because in here it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And to live a life without sin is really a life of reconciliation. And says here, now then, we are an ambassador for Christ, as through God we're pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And this is the righteousness that I want to see in us. It's not your works other than dealing with trespass. Try it. Try it this week. Try to not let individuals annoy you. I know it's hard. It like gets under our skin. But I'm going to tell you how to be free from it. Because there's a generational curse in our lives. And somewhere along the line, we didn't forgive someone in the past. And we have an issue. We have an issue. If we can't get free from these annoyances, because you can have the neighbor do the same thing and it doesn't annoy you. But why this one particular person? Why does this one have more power to annoy the hell out of us and get under our skin and cause us to be angry, cause us to get upset, cause us to get further and further into, I want to say, sin, where we lose self-control, even to the point of violence, yelling and screaming, maybe grabbing them by the throat, who knows what's next, finding a gun and pow. Look at what's happening around the world in sin, because literally it's because it starts with trespass. This annoyance, somehow, somewhere, we need to be free from our past. If we are in Christ, then we're a new creature. And all things have passed away, and we become new. Now, I know where my annoyance came from and why I can't deal with others who are manifesting that same thing. It came from my parents. I had to come to a place of forgiving those that didn't know what they were doing. How many of us are trapped in that area? Let's be real. Okay? And normally, 9 times out of 10, that's who puts the trespass on you, is your parents. Those that are the closest to you. And who closer to us than our moms and dads, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, family members. That's why it's called a generational curse. That's why it's called a generational curse. My neighbor can't offend me. But my brother, my sister, my mother, my father. And it may even come down to your best friend. You know, the one that you left into your life. That's where it starts. That's the root. I want us to be free today so that we can move forward in our lives. Let's just think back. Let us close our eyes for a moment. We have loved ones already in our lives that were there, that we don't want any longer there. They're a root. They're part of the root. But we can be free from them really quick if we take it deeper and get to the main root, the top root. Could it have been our brothers, sisters? Could it have been our mother or our father? What did they do to annoy us so much? We try to put it over our, you know, put the rug over it, not look at it. We have to identify it. We have to agree with our adversary. We have to say, you know what? That annoyed the hell out of me. The things that she did or he did, or that annoyed the hell out of me. It bothered me greatly. We first have to come to the truth. We have to come to the truth. We have to realize it wasn't us at all. We didn't do anything wrong. And then we have to find it in our heart to forgive them. For they know not what they do. They don't know. Because they have the same issue. Their generation. It was their forefathers, brothers, sisters, and uncles. Somebody in their past caused them to do the things that they're doing. It's a power and a principality that was passed down the line. And we were victims. But God wants to make all things new. He wants to break us free from these generational curses so that we can walk in His likeness and be totally free from sin and death. Be free from anger. If we're carrying anger, it's because we're holding trespasses. If we're carrying this annoyance around, we're being bothered by these things. It's because we're carrying trespasses. It's trespass down the line. And if we just begin to ask God to forgive them, He's now going to forgive you. And as He forgives you, He's not going to hold that power against you any longer. That means that it's going to break the yoke. That means the axe is going to be taken to that root, that tap root, that causes you to get so angry, so annoyed, so upset. To where you become a trespass to others. You actually carry that same generational curse. Maybe you become the class clown. And you're just annoying the hell out of people. Ignorance. God doesn't want us to be ignorant anymore. God wants us to move in compassion, but humility, knowing that we're subject to sin because we all fall short of the same glory. But yet not allow their actions to affect us anymore. We need to be free from other people's actions. We can't bury them anymore. By ignoring them and burying them, we are not being free. Because then we carry the same curse over to somebody else. And then we become that one who is committing the crime. Father, I thank You, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that You begin to open up our eyes and reveal those that we need to be free from. Now, this is going to be an awesome service right now. Because what God is showing me right now is He's going to put pictures of the individuals that are causing sin in your life. And when you have those individuals, do you see those individuals? It might be one, it might be 10. I want you to come up. I want you to come up. I'm going to lay hands on you. And you're going to be delivered. You're going to be delivered instantly of their trespasses. You're going to be forgiven completely of their trespasses. and you're going to be set free, and that generational curse is going to be broken out of your life. And you're no longer going to pass that same thing down and have it manifest in your own life. Amen. Come up. Come up. I told you the Lord was going to do something great in your life today. And you're going to be without sin. You know, the Lord showed me the desire of your heart is to walk in holiness. When I saw you, the first thing that came to me was like Joan of Arc. Someone who is willing to lay their life down in the holiness